today it's all about chess. We talked to three members of Queen's Chess Club, which has recently been revived in 2005 and has since gone on to a series of successes. This year they became Ulster Club champions, and last year they won the Irish University Championship. This month some of the members are off to Greece to compete in the European Championships, but for now we go to Botanic Avenue to hear from them.
My name's Steve, I'm retail manager.
I'm Chris, I just graduated from Queen's last year and I'm working in investment banking now.
I'm Kira and I'm a student.
So tell me about Queen's Chess Club. How long has it existed for and how many people are involved?
Sure. The latest edition of the Queen's Chess Club started 3 years ago. Previously before that it had folded for a couple of years, and when I joined as a fresher I decided Queen's needed a chess club and I reformed it, and for the last 3 years we've had a lot of success. In 2006 we became New Society of the Year. 2007 we became Irish University champions, and 2008 we became Ulster Club champions, so it's been going pretty well.
So how did it happen so quickly? Did you just assemble this kind of raw talent all together into one magnificent team?
Yes, I have a bit of experience of Ulster chess, so I knew some of the best players to bring into the club, and also been quite fortunate in that there's been a lot of good chess players studying at Queen's this particular time. I think I was proven when we won the Irish University Championship, good students there. There was myself, John Masterson, who was another law student, and Claudio Ferro-Mendicude, who was in doing a master's in chemistry, so I think we've been quite fortunate.
And do students come from all over, all kinds of fields, or mainly from science and math-related backgrounds?
I think typically people expect, to have a lot of chess players from maybe physics and applied math, whatever. But we've had a complete mix, English students, history students, law students, it really is, covers everything.
And do you think generally chess is well known in Northern Ireland, like kids start learning from a very young age?
I don't think the profile of chess in Northern Ireland is as high as it should be. I think down south at the minute they're doing very well, they're investing a lot of money and a lot of time, and I think that's really starting to pay dividends. The last years in Northern Ireland probably hasn't been enough time spent on it, but it's starting to improve, and we're trying to do a bit, through running a chess club at Queen's.
So do individual schools, grammar schools and otherwise, have chess clubs at all, or is it just university level that has chess?
Other grammar schools and secondary schools compete, but in recent years, maybe, like I said, it's gone downhill a little bit. There hasn't been the same amount of money and time spent on it as perhaps there should have been. I know, Kira, have you had some experience with Methody Chess Club recently?
Does Methody have a chess club?
Yeah, it does, but I'm not part of it.
And why not? Did Queen's try to recruit you? They thought you were such hot talent that they needed you for the university?
No, I just joined because, I just did.
So you don't have to be a university student to join the university club?
No, not at all.
And you don't feel intimidated playing with people who are a few years older than you?
Not really, no.
Do you think you fool people that you look young enough? How old are you, Kira?
15.
Do you think most people can tell how old you are?
I don't know. I don't think so. I don't know, really.
So when you show up to a tournament or even to practices, do you feel like you have to be extra tough to make people respect you as a player?
Not really, no. I just look kind of stupid, so it's fine anyway.
What is the atmosphere like at practices at the club? Is it very competitive, or basically anybody's welcome into the doors?
It can be competitive. I think it's a good learning environment there at the club. It's something I haven't seen in Ulster for some time. Normally with clubs, people come in, mainly adults, and they play against people that they know automatically, and they sit in the corner or whatever. But at Queen's, it's very refreshing. We have lectures, we have people that come in teaching others and so forth. And I like the fact that it's people of all ages and different backgrounds and things. Not only from Ulster, but from England, come over, people in university at Queen's and so forth. It's very refreshing. I enjoy going to Queen's and to their chess club, and long may it last.
What's the range of ages involved in the...
In terms of ages, I think Kira's probably the youngest. She's 14. 15 now? Yeah, she's just turned 15. I think the oldest, I don't know, possibly Steve's the oldest. Sorry,
maybe I'm 50.
Steve's 50, so, we're going from 15 to 50. So it's a pretty good range we've got.
So when you were trying to assemble a good club, did you just ask anybody or only students?
And, the Queen's Club is open to anybody. That there's a lot of people outside of the university that can add something to it, and... I think Kira and Steve are perfect examples, and trying to encourage that as much as possible. Anything that makes the club better, I'm behind it. Yeah.
So, what's the average year like? Is there kind of a high point in terms of competitions and championships? There's something you're building towards?
Yes, I'd say so. Generally, towards February, March, April, competitions tend to come to a head. like the league season especially, that's very competitive. That would come to a head about March. We'd have our own annual tournaments, which we hold in the Students' Union every year in February. I think there's a lot of tournaments around that time, but at the same time, tournaments are spread throughout the year. For example, Steve just won the Ulster Championships last weekend, and the City of Dublin Championships are this coming weekend. So it's also, you know, you do have a height to the season, but it's also spread throughout as well.
So does it ever distract from schoolwork, or does it ever come into conflict with your studies?
I think that's the advantage of chess. You can study chess or play chess at any time, day or night, and I think you can easily fit it in with your studies. And I think that has a lot to do with the popularity of it, I think, at school and university level. Because with other sports, I say sport now, because I think chess is sport. That's for a whole other show. But anyway, you know, other sports, you have to perform at a set time. But with chess, you're a bit more flexible with it. And that's why I like it, because I can work it out with my work, because I do long hours. But I can still get in some study every week because of it. And I was able to fit in this tournament this past weekend with work. And so I think there's many advantages with playing chess.
Games of chess a week do you usually play?
Well, now I try to get about 8 or 9 hours. It's really cut back. But it's mainly late at night when I want to go to bed. But
it's on the internet?
I play on the internet, mainly blitz games, because I can play more games in one session that way. And people come up with interesting ideas on the internet that maybe they wouldn't try in a tournament because they're playing safe. You know, I look at those things and look them up, and I learn from that. So the more games, the better. But you have to balance it out between the theory that you'd study in a book and the practice.
So even after years of playing, you're still reading books about chess?
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's why I don't think I'd ever move back to the States, because there's too many books to move. I remember my mom said when I wanted to get my fifth book, right, I was still living at home, and she asked me, do you really want that book? You've got 4 books already. Little did she know that 595 books later, I'd still be at it, approximately. I just love it, and there's always something to learn. You're always a student with the game.
And how many hours do you play a week?
I don't know, it would depend. I think coming up to the tournament, I'd probably put in an extra bit of time, maybe close to 10 hours a week. But then other weeks, you know, we'd hardly play at all. You know, it just depends on the situation, how many competitive matches I have coming up and the importance of them. And I think chess is good also in that, you know, we have players that play at the club just completely recreationally, so they would only play when they come to the club, and they would only do it just to relax, and we're perfectly compatible with that. You know, that's exactly what we're aiming for, just to get the range of recreational players or people that don't even know how to play and want to learn, up to players like Steve, you know, who are, you know, almost semi-professional with the game.
Kira, how many hours do you play a week?
I only play when I go to chess club, because I haven't played in about 4 years.
Oh, why did you take that time off?
I don't know. Because I moved here from Liverpool, so I just didn't, like, I just kind of gave up on chess.
Why did you take it up again?
Yeah, because of the club. The club looked good.
When you play chess, do you feel like you put on a different persona? Like a sports person, when they get on the field, sometimes they have a game face or something? Do you have a chess game face or a chess attitude?
Yeah, I'd say so sometimes. In a competitive environment, yes, I think then it changes. Obviously, if we're just playing in the club, then no, not at all. You know, it's completely relaxed. You know, it's just a bit of a joke. But when it comes to big tournaments, you're playing for prize money or something in a deciding round. Yeah, it's some people take it more seriously than others, but can get very, very competitive.
So do you ever, like, joke around or smile or no smiling at all?
Oh, you can smile. I mean, when you get up from the table, you know what I mean? But no, but there's some light moments, believe it or not. No, but normally a lot of people have a poker face. Yeah, I was in a tournament in Dublin one time, and I lost the game, and the fella said, you know, I could read you. And I'm like, you could read me, huh? He said, because you thought a long time on a simple move that I made. And then that got me looking at the position, and I saw that there was a possibility of a combination. And so because of your expression, your mood there, I was able to try to figure out what I was thinking about. And he was able to read me. I played the combination. It didn't work, and he won the game. You know, so people like to have a poker face if they can.
Are you very conscious of yourself while you're playing, like trying to keep your hands still, your face still, everything?
Sometimes, yeah. I think after a while, it kind of comes naturally to you, just turn everything off and sit there and play. Sometimes you're playing, and then 3 hours have gone by, and it's like, where did that go? But it's not all sitting in the book. You can get up and walk around when it's not your move. The games are timed, so you have to move in a certain time. So you pretty much know when you're going to finish your game, you know, at the latest. In the league that Chris and I play in, the Belfast League, games are only 3 hours long.
Oh, wow.
So we know if we start at 8, we're done by 11 and out of there at that time.
How about you, Kira? Do you have a game face? Do you ever smile during matches or things?
I don't know, really. I'm in the zone.
Do you think you're just concentrated? You look really intense.
I don't know.
It's actually one of the things I noticed when I first saw Kira playing at the club. She looks very composed when she's playing. You get a lot of players that have a sort of nervous energy about them, and Kira looks completely unflustered, which I think is very good.
Ulster chess small enough that you kind of know your opponents before you play them?
Generally, yes. We would get new players along that would just spice up the chess scene now and again, but a lot of the time you're playing somebody that you've played before. Mm-hmm. And there are good points and bad points that you can build up some very good rivalries, which makes the game more interesting. But sometimes you can get sick of playing the same player again and again, especially if they're always beating you. So, it's good and bad from that.
Wait, how many levels of competition are there? Is it like a Belfast and then wider and wider?
Well, generally, I mean, you could have competitions for any sort of area, but in chess, players get a rating after a while, just which gives an indication to their relative strengths. Players with a similar sort of rating would end up playing in the same sections, so they play players that had a similar ability to themselves.
How does the ranking, just based on your track record, or it's not based on anyone's assessment?
It's entirely on your track record. It's not a perfect system, but it tries to be as mathematical and objective as possible. In that respect, it's successful, but it doesn't always paint an accurate picture.
So is the chess world here more part of Irish or more part of UK chess circles?
Yeah, it would be closer to the Irish chess circle. In recent years, the Irish and Ulster Chess Union, which used to be all together, have split up a little, but still, we get Ulster Chess Union players playing in Irish Chess Union events, Irish Chess Union players playing in Ulster Chess Union events, but also you get players from Belfast, travelling over to the British Championships and things like that, so there'd be a good mix.
So they're eligible for both kinds of tournaments?
Yep, yeah. You're always eligible to play in any tournament. Chess tournaments are always welcome to have players along, so you shouldn't worry about things like that.
When the Chess Society sends members out, how many people usually go to a championship?
Well, it would depend. At the Ulster Championship this weekend, we had 3 players playing. City of Dublin Championships are coming up. We have another 3 players playing in that. It would really just depend from tournament to tournament. In our own tournament, for example, we had 17 players added. Obviously, because we're hosting, we're more likely to get players in. It would vary really from tournament to tournament, but we try and encourage as many of our members to get involved with competitive chess, if it's something they want to do.
And does the university take care of funding pretty much, since you're a society?
Yes, university, is very generous. The grant that it gives us each year, and we're always looking to improve on that year by year. Also, we're always looking, for outside sources of funding, because sometimes, we do have very high costs. This year, for example, coming up in October, we'll be playing in the European Championships in Greece, and the cost for each player for that are very high, so we're doing all we can to get some sponsorship and funding for that.
With more ethnic minorities coming into Northern Ireland, are there more foreign Russians, Eastern Europeans, Africans, anyone else?
Yes, it's true. I mean, it's something we're conscious of and we're looking to pick up on. For example, there's a guy in Ballymena. He's recently come over from Slovakia. He's a bus driver in Ballymena, and he saw our tournament advertised on our website. He came along to it, and it turned out he was an internationally rated player, and he's been a great addition to the club. So that's just a typical example. It's brilliant. We can pick up players like that all the time.
How about the gender split? Are there many females, or it's almost all males?
Yes, generally, I think chess has tended to attract more males than females, but we're doing all we can at the club, to try and increase the percentage of players that are females. At our first meeting last year, we had 20 people at it, I think, and 6 of them were women. So, if we can develop more along those lines, the more the better. It's definitely something we're looking to encourage, and women are certainly very, very welcome to the club.
Kira, do you feel the gender thing? Do you think being female is an advantage, or it hurts you, or you don't really notice it that much?
I don't notice that much, because I just don't, but there is more guys than there would be girls.
Do your friends Do they ever ask you about chess, or do you ever talk about chess with your friends?
Some of them, yeah. But, like, I don't know. Not...
Do you know any other girls your age who play chess regularly?
No. But I know some boys that do.
Are you friends with them, like chess friends?
I've never played them or anything, but I just know they play.
You're from the States, right?
I'm from Baltimore.
And when did you start playing chess?
I was about Kira's age, 11 or 12. My sister taught me. It's a rainy Saturday afternoon. I think she got tired of beating her boyfriend, so she taught me. I was in that day. She felt sorry for me and taught me and played a few games against her and then didn't play for a couple years. And it was a big chess match back in 72. I'm showing my age. And so that summer I got interested in it again. I played my brother. He has a winning record against me, by the way. I try to play him whenever I go back and he never wants to play me again. But anyway, he's got a ring. And then that autumn, started getting books. And then I found a chess club and went to that. One thing led to another. Then I heard about tournaments and so on. I started playing postal chess because I didn't know what was out there.
What's postal chess?
Postal, you send a move by post on a postcard, one move at a time. So a game could take a couple years. So, you know, as by then I was 16 and I couldn't wait that long. I couldn't wait. Get this game over with. I just resigned all my games, and then I found over-the-board tournaments. That was the start of it about 34 years ago, for crying out loud.
And would you say that your interest has grown steadily over the years?
Just a little bit at a time. Chris talked about the rating system. That was my goal, to get to the next 100th point. You know, to get 1,500, then 1,600, and so on. Because at each 100 points, or each 200 points, rather, in the States, there's a classification, and then you can compete for prizes under a certain rating, and so on, and get class prizes. But he had a thing over there, one-day tournaments called quads, where they pair you with three other people, approximately your same grading. You see how you do against your own grading. And the thing was to get to the next section, and the next section. And that was the first Sunday of every month, and I love that. I love just that one tournament a month. It's a nice, even pace, and prepare for it. And the same players were there. And, you know, I did that for a while. And then I went to a big tournament in Philadelphia called the World Open back in 76. And I was hooked at that point. I'm like, yeah, I'm going to do this.
Is it because you thought you were really good at it and it made you feel good? Or you just...
I lost a lot of games back then. You know, did they trounce me?
You still wanted to play?
I still wanted to play. That was a challenge to me, you know, to keep playing. The local club, everybody beat me. And I know, so Mom, can I have another chess book, please? I've got to learn this game. But it was cool. I just finished baseball. I'd played baseball for about 10 years. I needed something competitive, I think. And chess was it. And I thought it was cool because, I mean, Kira, we're experienced this, playing people twice your age or three times your age and trying to beat them. I thought that was neat, you know. I'm in a room with adults, and I could never, like, speak to adults or relate in the same level as adults at that point. I was 16, 17 years old. And I could with chess, and I liked that, you know. That was cool to me.
And how about you, Chris? What was your chess story? How did you get induced into this world?
Again, it was quite a gradual progression. I think I learned chess when I was 7. I started playing in schools tournaments when I was about 9, I think. Had some success, you know, as soon as I started. I really enjoyed it. I think it wasn't though until I was about 15 or 16 that I started playing in adult tournaments outside of schools chess. You know, like I said, it's a gradual progression, you know, you build yourself up and generally, you know, just get better and better. And, you know, that's what I found. You know, even then, in recent years, I started to concentrate more on running chess as well as just playing it. And in terms of organising the chess club and everything, and trying to move chess forward in Northern Ireland as much as possible and within the university.
And did anyone in your friends or family circles, were any of them really into chess too?
Well, my dad, who taught me, he played quite a bit, but he doesn't play anymore. I had an older brother who played in schools competitions and the like, but he's given it up for a while. I'm trying to get him back into it. Same with my younger brother. He was actually the Ulster Under 12 champion. Well, that was the same with me. That was the first level I was playing at, Under 12, and I think it goes down Under 9 and everything. Same, my young brother had some success, but chess is the sort of game where you can leave it for a few years and come back to it, you know, and I think, you know, that's quite typical as well.
And do you think your progress has been like a straight shot up, or it's a slower or more bumpy ride than that?
Yeah, it's a bit of a bumpier ride than that. You try and make your progress as steady as possible and I suppose as quick as possible, but I think there's some times maybe where for a year or so you don't spend so much time on it. Then another year, couple of months might come along where you get really into it, so yeah, you know, you really start enjoying it again, you spend more time on it and you improve a lot more quickly.
And since you started work, like you left university, has that been a major shift and pushed chess down in priorities for you?
It's given me a little less free time, but I still, you know, I enjoy playing it so much. It's not something that I'm going to give up. While I might have to balance my time a little more, it's still something I'm definitely going to keep pursuing.
How about you? Did you start very early playing chess, or how old were you when you first took up the pieces?
I was about, like, six, and then I just, like, got into my school, my primary school one, and my primary school chess club, and I just moved over to Belfast and then just didn't play chess again, and then now I've started again.
When you started, did you think, oh, I'm really good at this, my brain knows how to play well?
No, I was really rusty, I think, I don't know, and then, yeah, just start playing again.
Do you enjoy it when you go to the chess practices?
Well, I wouldn't say it's stressful, but it's good fun, yeah, because it's like one of the only things I'm half decent at, so.
Do you play any sports?
No.
So do you get a buzz off the competition in the chess?
Kinda, yeah.
Like when you win, does it send your ego really high?
Yeah, because, yeah, I think so, yeah.
Does your ego go up and down during the course of practices or tournaments?
It can make a big difference. When you're playing practice chess, you know, it doesn't really matter. You know, you're just trying to enjoy yourself. With tournaments, if you spend 3 hours in a long game and then suddenly just at the very end of it you lose, you know, it can be very disappointing. But on the other hand, if you beat a player, especially one who's really a good bit above you, it can be a nice boost to the ego. You can feel a lot more confident in yourself, and it's a good boost. It makes you want to play again.
How many chess players have we seen, Chris, that when they win a game, again, let me show you my game. I got to show you this. Oh, I got to show you. Oh, this is great. You'll love this. I mean, there are some unashamed chess players out there. It's like the egos just go, you know what I mean, once they win a game. But when they lose, you don't see them. You notice that, Chris? You know, where do they go? Wait a minute. I see they lost on the wall chart, but they're not here anymore. What's going on? Maybe it's like a gambler. They only tell you about the wins or something. I don't know. But you see that with chess players. I think chess is a great equalizer in that respect, because I know if I felt pretty good or if I bragged a little bit or something, then I'd lose the next game. And it brings me right back to earth. And I'm like, why did I do that? Why did I get so overconfident? So I think that's good. It's a good life lesson. Chess is good for the student because, well, in my own instance, I think it opened my mind a bit. And I think it does for a lot of people. Because I was a failing student. I was struggling at school, you know. And then when I really got into chess, I don't know, kind of opened me up. And I got the best grades ever in that year in school. It could very well have been the concentration. Because when I first started playing chess, my mind was everywhere. I'd be thinking of everything but the game I was playing. And I think maybe it disciplined my mind. I don't know. I'm not a psychologist or anything. But I'm just throwing that out, you know. I mean, why not?
Definitely, I would agree. You improve your focus an awful lot, and also I think you get a lot more confidence thinking by yourself, because when you're playing chess, you know, it's entirely independent. Whatever happens, it's completely up to you. You live and die by your decisions on the board, and you gain the confidence that you're able to do that in other situations, and I think that's very, very useful in life generally, yeah.
How often do like temper tantrums or nervous breakdowns occur?
It's a very rare thing. I think for some people it's more frequent than for others. Some people, you tend to get their cards marked as having a particular type of personality, and you're a bit more careful with those people. But generally, people try and keep their emotions to themselves and keep as composed as possible about the whole thing.
And are there politeness rituals like other sports? Do you shake hands before and shake hands after?
Oh, yes, before every tournament game, you'd shake hands and you'd shake hands afterwards. Maybe rituals that would really have to be observed. served, and the whole gentlemanly or gentlewomanly conduct has to come into it, you know. Some people step outside the boundaries now and again, but then you'll always get an apology from them afterwards whenever they calm down and realise it's only a game of chess.
So do you ever find, like, chess metaphors or chess things seeping into other parts of your life? Like, you start seeing things through this lens of chess?
Oh, okay. I'm exposing light now. Well, I used to have dreams about chess. Should we get a couch here? Lie on the couch or something like that, you know, tell you all about this? But anyway, I think I can turn off and turn on very quickly. I mean, this past weekend in the tournament, I was also at work in the morning, early in the morning and late at night as well. So, you know, driving to the tournament hall, I was sort of Europa, I was able to turn off very quickly and think of the chess and then turn back on when I went to work. As far as dreaming about chess, Alice through the Looking Glass or something, I don't know, with the kings and queens. When I first started, I had kind of had dreams about it. This is bad. You're going to kick me out of here. That's nerdish. But sure, I guess if you get into anything, you think about it frequently and it goes through your life. Chess would be no different.
You can get so into chess, you know, the opportunities there to really involve yourself in something, and can come to such an extreme, you know, you can think about it all the time, you can really give yourself up to it like that. Or on the other hand, you can take it really casually, you know, you can just turn up for a club meeting, play a game for an hour or so, and then just completely forget about it until the next time you come to play. That's what's so good about it. You can get involved with it so many levels, whatever intensity you're comfortable with, completely recreational to super hyper competitive, you know, it's up to you.
Chess pieces as human at all? Like, do you give them traits or personalities, or do you ever talk to them?
Not particularly. I think to be a good chess player, you know, you have to be quite ruthless with your chess pieces. You don't afford them any sort of personality or become attached to them, because, you know, they're gonna go. So don't think you want to be forming those sort of connections if you're gonna become a good player.
But does it make you feel like a god or a puppet master sending these people to their fates, or no?
No, you really, I think you sort of see them, they're representing you, you know, your fate and their fate is interwoven, and you want to play it right.
So are there ever any hilarious chess-related stories, like a chess anecdote that would just send you really?
Oh, this is one of those moments where you draw a blank. You know that they're out there. There's quite a few characters in chess, because we get them from all walks of life. I did see a guy bar like a sheep under the table one time. I think, yeah, I know this. It was at the chess club back in Baltimore, and he had a really hard week. He was playing really bad, so he says, right, okay, you guys are taking it to me. So he got under the table and bawled like a sheep, and we all laughed, and that broke the tension and all. And then he played better after that, so I don't know. He just needed that little outlet there, I guess. It was in a tournament, club tournament, but there's been some characters over the years. The first official world champion, this goes back to the 19th century, Wilhelm Steinitz. He got so obsessed by chess that he thought he could play God, that he could give God pawn and move. Because back then they had handicaps where you could take a pawn off the board and be handicapped by the material loss and play someone, and that would even up the odds. Well, he felt he was so good he could beat God, and these kind of things. And you hear about these people. I mean, they're rare. I mean, we're pretty, I guess, level-headed people. Anyway, Alexander Yakin was one of the strongest players of all time, and he was playing a match. He was defending his title against a Dutch schoolmaster, mathematic professor, Max Oiva, if I've got that pronunciation correct. And anyway, he took the match lightly, because Max wasn't supposed to beat him, but Max did, because Mr. Aliekin drank too much during the match.
During the match?
Yes.
And let him drink?
Oh, whatever he wanted, you know, he was the world champion, whatever he said goes, you know. So one morning, they went looking for him, couldn't find him. He was out in the field, heavily sedated, and feeling no pain. And they had to drag him to one of the games, clean him up and so forth, you know.
Who was they? Who was pushing this man to go?
I guess the organizers, you know, looking for him. You know, where's one half of the match here? Oh, he's out in the field somewhere. So
Is it usual for chess players to abuse substances, or that's an unusual story?
It's kind of, well, I mean, like I say, people from all walks of life, they do all sorts of things. We've said a lot of positive things about chess. I don't want to say anything negative now.
But does usually a caffeine or a nicotine addiction go along with chess?
Oh, yeah, well, definitely, yeah. If you're playing for long hours, that always helps. I don't want to necessarily endorse a certain energy drink, but I drank that frequently over the weekend. I had to if I'm working and playing.
Maybe you should look into a sponsorship deal. Oh,
it could be. Yeah. They do sponsor flying competitions and I think motorcycle. So maybe chess would be next. You know, the body and mind thing going on there, the balance. But that was my drunken story. So I hope the listeners enjoy it. But when you become obsessed about anything, I'm sure these absurdities come out.
You should ask Steve this question again just after he's lost the game.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That like a seep then, you know. But as far as the age group, we'd love to see more young people come into it. They play so well in school chess, and then once they leave chess between school and university, they kind of tail off then the numbers, and they don't continue it. But if we could get the word out that tournaments are out there and so forth and advertise that they could come to the tournaments, I think that would be great. A person like Kira is a great representative of the younger generation there, and you know, maybe see her play well, and then they'll come out.
Any other anecdotes? Any other funny stories? Or no violence, no explosions?
Well, you can come close to violence, I think, with certain characters. You get certain eccentrics, you know, involved with the game. Not the Queen's Chess Club, you know, I don't want to scare anybody away. Yes, you can get some characters. Some Eastern Europeans have come over and maybe been quite hot-headed, but I also know some characters from other parts of Ulster Chess that take the game very seriously indeed as well. And if they end up losing sight just for a few moments after the game, you know, they can overstep the line a little bit before, you know, always returning to the gentlemanliness afterwards and, you know, realising it was all in the heat of the moment. Yeah, things are already going. We try to keep the club taking over during the summer months. A lot of people have more free time to play then, so while there are a lot of students that have gone back home to Derry or across the water or whatever, there's also some people that have more time then, and so, you know, it's a better time for them to play. But really the year would start to kick off in October. You know, that's when it would really get going. We'd have the Freshers' Bazaar at the start of October. If we have good Freshers' Bazaar, that sets the tone for the rest of the year. We'll have a lot more members, have better atmosphere at the club, have better events, better tournaments. So, you know, that's key. Also, on the competitive front, I mean, we have the European Championships. First time Queens have played in European Club Championships for I don't know how long. That's coming up in October. You know, that's a major highlight for the club. And then the league season will be starting, and we'll be trying to defend our title as Ulster Club Champions. And, you know.
Oh, will you be having another tournament here at Belfast then, in the springtime?
Yes. Yeah. Queens, we're trying to host now as many tournaments as possible, trying to get plenty of events going, just to keep the interest up, keep people coming into our club. Not just our own club members and potential new members, but also people from other clubs around Belfast, trying to get everybody involved and benefiting from chess and queens. Our next tournament, we should have one coming up in October. I want to hold a Freshers' Championship, sort of combined with a Blitz tournament, because we had a Blitz tournament over the summer for the first time. It went very well, got a very good response. Just quite a casual and formal tournament held in Barcelona in the Students' Union. We're going for a similar format again. It works very well. You know, people like playing in a relaxed atmosphere for some competitions, as well as having the intense atmosphere as well. It's a good mix, so we like to give people, you know, some options in. And yes, like I said, next February we'll have our annual tournament again. We're looking to make it as big a tournament as possible. Personally, I would like to see it eventually become the biggest one-day tournament in the whole of Ireland. We're aiming to get, with some sponsorship, a total prize fund of £750 for the tournament. And when you get that sort of money involved, you get a lot more players interested, including the very best players in the island. That would be our ambitions for the coming months, really.
as the chess club's reputation grows, as you win more and have better players, do you think that can kind of be a double-sided thing, a curse? Like, now you have a reputation to live up to?
Yes, that's true. You know, there's higher expectations on us now. When we play in tournaments, people are expecting us to do well, expecting us to win, whereas before we were outsiders. Now, for example, playing in the league this year, we're playing as champions for the first time in the top division. That's going to be an added pressure when we go to play other teams. They'll be looking out for us. You know, they'll see this, you know, their chance against the big boys, as it were. You know, a good team to shoot down, and everybody's looking out. You know, we're the team to beat now, and I think a lot of people are looking out for us.
Having a team in the league is good, because then the students that come to the club, that'll be a goal of theirs to try to get on a team. And they know that they'll get strong competition and so on. They can move up higher and higher. So I think that's a good trade-off. There's serious chess and there's fun chess going on at Queen's. I think it's a great time to become there. Oh, and I thought of an anecdote.
Yeah.
Okay, in the World Championship match of 1978, one player from his camp, they would send out at a particular time during the game yogurt, because he was a yogurt lover, right? And it would be either strawberry or blueberry. And his opponent complained that his team was trying to tell him with the strawberry to be more aggressive, it's red, and with the blueberry to be a little more passive and defensive at that point in the game. So his opponent complained, so he couldn't enjoy his yogurt during the match. So that was that. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, you
I wonder if it really was a conspiracy, though, or if it's.
I think sometimes paranoia can take over at chess. At that rarefied level, at world championship level, you do get a bit of paranoia. Everybody's very suspicious that somebody's trying to get one over on them at that level. So.
And is there cheating ever in chess? It must be really tough to cheat, right?
Yes, it would be very difficult to cheat. There's some very sort of rules with a lot of finesse to them, to do with the clock or whatever. You know, there's very, very precise little rules, and sometimes people would try to get a little advantage here and there, but it's very hard to actually cheat or break the rules. You can't just go around and lift someone's piece off the board or something like that. You'd never get away with it.
And you can't get like secret signals from across the room or anything?
Well, I've never seen it. I'm sure there's some people that might, you know, that might try it, but it would be very difficult. Yeah, I think you'd generally get someone else in the room who would catch on to it and be able to stop to it pretty quickly.
Well, many thanks to Chris, to Steve, and to Kira for the interviews today. For anyone interested in joining up with Queen's Chess Club, they can go to their website at https://qis.qub.ac.uk/chess. The music today came from Shakira Stanley and from Brian McRae. Thanks for listening today, and tune in next week for more stories. Until then, thanks for listening. I'm Margaret Hagen, and this has been Another World.